الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, taqullah, fear Allah, wa kunu ma'as-sadiqeen, and be with the truthful. يا أيها الذين آمنوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the believers. O you who have accepted Iman, O you who have believed, O you who have become mu'mineen, اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. Now do two things. Fear Allah and be with the truthful. Adopt the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adopt the company of the truthful. And who are the truthful servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. The muttaqeen, the people of taqwa, are the sadiqeen and the truthful. So now we can say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given two instructions to the believers. One is the adoption of taqwa, and second, the adoption of the company of the people of taqwa. O you who have accepted iman, O you who believe, ittaqullah, adopt taqwa. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ أي وَكُونُوا مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. The tafsir of sadiqin is muttaqin. So adopt the company of the people of taqwa. Now in this verse three things have been mentioned. One is iman, the other is taqwa, and the third is company of the people of taqwa. What is iman? Iman, in simple words, is to recognize and understand the truth, and after recognizing and understanding the truth, to accept it wholeheartedly, to submit to it, and proclaim it with the tongue. So after recognizing and understanding the truth, to accept it wholeheartedly without a shadow of doubt, and to proclaim it, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. This is iman. So when a person recognizes and understands the truth, that Islam is the true religion of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the true messenger of Allah and the final messenger of Allah, and the Sharia that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the final Sharia, and this Sharia has abrogated all the Shariats before it. When a person recognizes the truth, understands the truth, but he does not wholeheartedly accept it, he does not submit to it, his heart does not submit to it, he does not accept this truth as that authority which will govern his life. Like Abu Talib. Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam, had understood and recognized the truth, but he was not willing to accept it wholeheartedly and submit to it. For whatever reason. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حِذَارُ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. Abu Talib said, I know. I have recognized and I have understood. I have this knowledge that the deen of my nephew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best deen on the surface of this earth. But there are certain obstacles which are preventing me from accepting it. So I cannot submit to it. So despite recognizing the truth, despite understanding the truth, Abu Talib is not a believer. Despite having so much love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why? Because the definition of iman does not just end there. Regarding the Jews of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya'rifunahu kama ya'rifuna abna'ahum." These Jews, they recognize the Quran and they recognize my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just as they recognize their sons, just as they have no doubt in their sons being their sons, just as they have no doubt in their children being their children, they have no doubt whatsoever in regard to the Quran being the book of Allah, the word of Allah, and in regard to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in being the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt whatsoever. So if a person fails to understand and recognize the truth, he cannot be a believer. If a person understands and recognizes the truth, but with some doubts, again, he cannot remain a believer. Without a shadow of doubt, he understands and recognizes the truth, but he does not submit to it. Again, he cannot be a believer. In order to become a believer, a person has to understand, recognize, understand the truth, thereafter wholeheartedly accept it without a shadow of doubt, submit to it, and thereafter proclaim it. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. This person is mu'min, believer. And if after accepting this belief, after submitting to iman, submitting to truth, he left this world within seconds, he will go straight to Jannah. He will go straight to Jannah. If a 80-year-old person, despite all the filth, that he had committed in his past 70 years, 80 years, 60 years, as soon as he understands and recognizes the truth, he accepts it wholeheartedly, without a shadow of doubt, he submits to it, that yes, this is the authority that will govern my life now. Due to some shortcoming, he may not be able to carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or demands of this iman completely, but he does accept that five times salat is fard and that governs my body. If I perform it, alhamdulillah. If I do not perform it, I am guilty. He accepts it. As soon as he proclaims, after understanding and recognizing the truth and submitting to it, as soon as he proclaims, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, all his past sins are forgiven. And if he was to die after minutes, after seconds, he will go straight into Jannah. The great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, he came into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to accept Islam. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, I have come to accept Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stretched out his hand so that Amr ibn As radiyallahu anhu could place his hand on the blessed hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and recite the kalima. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stretched out his blessed hand, Amr ibn As radiyallahu anhu pulled away his hand and he put it against his chest. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Amr, I thought you wanted to accept Islam. He said, yes, O Messenger of Allah, I do want to accept Islam. But I have lived a good portion of my life in shirk, in idolatry, in polytheism, and I have lived a good portion of my life in disobeying the Creator. What about all those filthy sins of the past? If I accept Islam,
And after accepting Islam, if I was to live for a month, for a week, for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years, doing good, and if I was to pass away, then the portion of filth is far more greater than the portion of good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge me and He will punish me. So what is the point of accepting Islam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ama alimta ya Amr? O Amr, do you not know? Anna al-Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla. When a person accepts Islam, all his past sins are wiped out. As soon as a person accepts Islam wholeheartedly, with complete submission, all his past sins are forgiven. And it is thereafter what he does that will decide his fate on the day of Qiyamah. So those people who revert to Islam, it is after reverting to Islam what they do that will decide their fate on the day of Qiyamah. So let's say that a revert who accepts Islam at the age of 30, what he has done before 30 will not be judged on the day of Qiyamah. It is what he has done after the age of 30. And a person who is a born Muslim, then from the age of puberty until he breathes his last, he will be judged for whatever he did, good or bad. On the day of Qiyamah, if the good outweighs the evil, when the amal will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah, then if the good outweighs the evil, then this person will go direct into Jannah without having to go in the fire of Jahannam. And if the evil outweighs the good, then either of two things will happen. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to deal with this person with fadl, with grace, then Allah will grant him forgiveness and grant him entry into Jannah without punishing him. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to deal with this person with adl, with justice, then he will be sent into the fire of hell for 1 week, for 1 month, for 1 year, according to the level of his evil. Allah will punish him, and once he is purified from all the filth that he had committed in this world, thereafter he will be granted entry into Jannah. So a believer, when he leaves this world with Iman, he will be judged on the day of Qiyamah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If his good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, he will be granted entry into Jannah direct. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include all of us in this group. And if his bad deeds outweigh the good deeds, then either Allah will deal with him with fadl, grace, or with adl, justice. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with grace, then Allah will forgive his bad deeds and grant him entry into Jannah without any punishment whatsoever. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to deal with adl, justice, then he will punish him according to the level of his evil, and eventually he will be granted entry into Jannah because of this blessing of Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is speaking to the mu'mineen, the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ittaqullah, fear Allah. Normally, ittaqullah is translated as fear Allah. Fear Allah, fear Allah. Fear the displeasure of Allah. Ittaqullah means fear the displeasure of Allah. do not do anything that will displease Allah. Ittaqu is derived from the word wiqayah. And wiqayah means a shield, a veil, a partition. So ittaqullah means, O you who believe, create a wiqayah between yourselves and displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create a shield between yourselves and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create a veil, create a partition between yourselves and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes displeased as a result of our disobedience to him. So basically the meaning of ittaqullah is that create a barrier, create a wall, create a wiqayah, a shield between yourselves and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that Allah does not become unhappy with you. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا ذَاكَ التُّقَى لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحِسَى. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ, leave sins. Allama Alusi rahimahullahu ta'ala in his well-known tafsir quotes a couplet defining taqwa. What is taqwa? خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ, leave sins, stay away from sins. Sagiraha wa kabiraha, minor and major. Minor and major. Major sin is also disobedience to Allah, and minor sin is also disobedience to Allah. Never let this thought enter your mind that this is major, so I have to stay away from it, and this is minor, so it doesn't really matter. No. Major is also disobedience to Allah, and minor is also disobedience to Allah. And disobedience to the Creator who has created us and granted us everything is always major. He is the only benefactor. He is the one who has created us, and He is the one who has granted us everything. And thereafter we say, oh, this disobedience is only major. This obedience is major, but this is only minor? No. Every disobedience, any disobedience, when it comes to disobeying the Creator, the sole benefactor, will always remain major. It will always remain heinous crime. It will always remain very grave and very great. Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, that have you ever seen a clever person, a person with intellect, saying that this is a large snake, so stay away from it, and this is only a small snake, so it doesn't really matter. Or this is a very large scorpion, so stay away from it, and this is a small one, so it doesn't really matter. No. They are both dangerous because they are both poisonous. Similarly, for our spiritual life, our spiritual life, our life of the hereafter, minor sin is poisonous and major sin is also poisonous. Both of them are poisonous. Yes, one is more poisonous than the other. But both are destructive. So a believer, a mu'min, that person who realizes that Allah is my sole creator and it is Allah who has granted me everything, and on a daily basis I am benefiting from this benefactor, every moment of the day, every second of the day, ears, eyes, tongue, brain, hands, fingers, feet, toes, legs, so many things inside, the brain, the kidneys, the liver, the heart, and so many other things, away from our body, the oxygen, the food, the water, the wife, the husband, the children. How can we ever think of disobeying this greatest benefactor? Ittaqullah. Create a shield between yourselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalli dhunub. Leave sins. Saghiraha wa kabiraha. Minor, major, all. Dhaqat toqa. That is taqwa. Leave all sins. That is taqwa. Leave all sins. Stay away from all sins. Create a barrier between yourselves and sinful activities. Disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is taqwa. لا تحقرن صغيرة إن الجبال من الحصى. Do not look down upon a minor sin. Oh, this is only a minor sin. It's only a minor sin. It's only a minor sin. Why? Because the mountain that you see in front of you is made up of small pebbles. So minor sin, 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 minor sin. So many minor sins will become a major. And the ulama have stated in defining the major sin, what is a major sin? They have defined major sin in order. One of the things the ulama have said, that when a person looks down upon a minor sin, oh, this is only a minor sin, it's okay if I do it, it doesn't really matter. It is minor for the whole ummah. But for this particular person, this minor has become major now. Whenever a person takes a minor sin lightly, looks down upon a minor sin, that minor sin does not remain minor for that person. It's minor for the whole ummah, but not for that person who takes it lightly. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. O you who believe, O the believers. Allah is saying, O the believers, اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Create a barrier between yourselves and minor sins and major sins. Create a barrier between yourselves and disobedience to Allah. Create a barrier between yourselves and anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question I would like to pose here is, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again in the Quran turns to the believers and says, Ittaqullah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullaha wa koolu qawlan sadida. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullaha wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamad ligad. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullaha wa koonu ma'as sadikin. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatih, wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu intattaqullaha yaj'al lakum. Why does Allah say to the believers, ittaqullah, ittaqullah, ittaqullah? And remember the meaning of ittaqullah. Allah is saying, create a barrier between yourselves and disobedience to Allah. And creating a barrier means do not even go near disobedience to Allah. Keep away from disobedience to Allah. Why does Allah say this? The reason for that is, my friends, anything we do in this world has an effect. Minor sin, major sin, they have effects. Kufr, shirk, nifaq, hypocrisy, they have effects. The negative effect of a minor sin is lesser than the negative effect of major sin. And the negative effect of major sin is lesser than the negative effect of kufr, shirk and nifaq. But they all have negative effects. Similarly, fard, wajib, sunnah muakkada, sunnah ghair muakkada, mustahab and nafl, they all have positive effects. The effect of a nafl, good, the positive effect of a nafl is lesser than the positive effect of mustahab. And the positive effect of mustahab is lesser than the positive effect of sunnah ghair muakkada. The positive effect of sunnah ghair muakkada is less than the positive effect of sunnah muakkada. The positive effect of sunnah muakkada is less than the positive effect of wajib. And the positive effect of wajib is less than the positive effect of farz. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. When a person wishes to come nearer to me, then he does not carry out anything to come nearer to me which is more beloved to me than that action which I have made fard upon him. Because the positive effect of a fard action will always remain greater than the positive effects of wajib or sunnah muakkada or sunnah ghair muakkada or nafl. So let us go back to the negative effects. Every sin has a negative effect and every good deed has a positive effect. One minor sin, second minor sin, third minor sin. As I said earlier, if a person looks down upon a minor sin and takes it very light, oh, it's only a minor sin. Oh, it's only a minor sin. Oh, it doesn't really matter, it's only a minor sin. Sometimes he may not say it, but that's how he thinks inside. For him, that is a major sin. Or, a person doesn't think that way. But he continually carries out a particular minor sin. Same minor sin, today, tomorrow, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, this week, next week, the week after. Then for this person who continually carries out a minor sin, this sin has become a major for him. So the effect of a minor sin is that it will lead him to a major sin. If he looks down upon a minor sin, it will become a major. If he continually carries out a particular minor sin, it will become major. And if he does not look down upon a minor sin, he is serious about it. But today he commits this minor sin, tomorrow he commits this minor sin, the day after he commits that minor sin. He abstains from all major sins, but regarding minor sins he is not careful. Then the effects of minor sin on his heart will lead him to commit in future a major sin. And the effect of committing a major sin will lead him to commit another major sin. And the effect of that will lead him to commit another major sin. And soon he will find that major sins have become for him just like minor sins. A few months ago, he was very, very careful in regard to the major sins. But he was not so careful regarding the minor sins. Now the effect of, the negative effect of committing those minor sins has led him to commit major sins frequently. And when a person begins to continually commit major sins, the effect of that is that he will go towards kufr. He will go towards kufr. And a time will come when he will utter a word of kufr. He will begin to doubt certain principles of Islam, certain faraid, certain wajibat, certain haram. He will begin to doubt. And then a time will come when he will really have doubts regarding a particular aqidah, a particular fard. He may say, everything is okay, but I don't think so this is fard. I don't think so this should be fard. Why should this be compulsory? It doesn't make sense. So he will fall in kufr. And as soon as a person falls in kufr, he does not remain a believer. And when he does not remain a believer, then Allah will deal with him separately on the day of Qiyamah. So to save us from falling into kufr, Allah over and over says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. This is his kindness. So he is not threatening us, O you who believe, fear me. No, it's his kindness, O you who believe. O you who believe, you have been granted a very great favor, the favor of Iman, that will save you from the eternal punishment of the hereafter. Safeguard this Iman by creating a barrier between yourselves and disobedience to me, because these disobediences, their negative effects can lead you to lose this ni'mat of Iman.
So in reality, Allah is saying that taqwa adopted because it is security for your iman. So this is kindness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is His mercy. It is His love. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. It's like a father saying to his son, that my son, you are going outside. It's very snowy today. So make sure you don't take the small path. Take the big path. Go on the main road, because the main road will be more clearer than the small path. Don't stay away from the small path. It is like the father saying, oh my son, stay away from wrong company. Stay away from that wrong company. The 4 or 5 young people in our area who are drug dealers, who sell drugs, who consume. Don't stay away from them, my son. Stay away. The father is not threatening them. No, the father is being kind to them. Don't stay away from them. So Allah is not threatening us that don't disobey me. Stay away from my disobedience. No. Allah doesn't need our iman. Allah does not need our iman. Allah does not need our obedience. It is we who need the obedience towards Allah, and it is we who need iman, because it is through iman we will be able to save ourselves from the eternal punishment of the hereafter. So Allah does not need our ibadat. Allah does not need our iman. Allah says, you need iman. I have given you iman. Now make sure you don't lose that iman. It's like a father giving £50 note to his young child and saying, look after the money, make sure you put it in your wallet, and make sure the wallet is here, make sure it's not here on the side. Is everything safe? You sure you put the money in the right place? So Allah is showing us the way to safeguard our iman, and iman will be safeguarded through taqwa. And what is taqwa? The simple definition of taqwa is not to do anything that will displease Allah. And what displeases Allah? Leaving aside a fard, that displeases Allah. Fard, anything that is fard, if you leave it aside, that it displeases Allah. So it is against taqwa to leave aside a fard. 5 times salat, zakah, hajj, fasting in the month of Ramadan. Number 2, leaving aside wajib. That also displeases Allah. Sadaqatul Fitr on the day of Eid, it is wajib. To perform Salatul Eid, it is wajib. To perform Salatul Witr after Isha Salat, 3 rakah of Salatul Witr, it is wajib. To leave aside Sunnah Muakkada, this also displeases Allah. 4 rakah Sunnah before Zuhr is Sunnah Muakkada. 2 rakat sunnah after Zuhr is sunnah muakkada. 2 rakat sunnah after Maghrib is sunnah muakkada. 2 rakat sunnah after Isha is sunnah muakkada. 4 rakat before Juma, 4 rakat and 2 rakat after Juma, 2 rakat before Fajr. So to leave aside, omit a fard, to omit a wajib, to omit a sunnah muakkadah displeases Allah. So create a barrier between yourselves and the displeasure of Allah means do not omit any fard, do not omit any wajib, and do not omit any sunnah muakkadah. What else displeases Allah? To engage in haram, to consume alcohol, to consume drugs, to sell alcohol, to sell drugs, to gamble, to look at non-mahram ladies, to watch filthy things on the internet, not to adopt the injunctions of hijab between male and female, outside or in the homes, to watch films, to listen to music, haram. When a person engages in any haram, Allah becomes unhappy. And Allah also becomes unhappy when a person engages in makruh-e tahrimi. Makruh is of 2 types. One is makruh-e tahrimi, the other is makruh-e tanzihi. So if you find in a book that to do this is makruh, then don't just brush it aside and say, oh, it's only makruh. No, ask the ulama and the muftis, is it makruh-e-tahrimi or is it makruh-e-tanzihi? If it is makruh-e-tahrimi, the difference between haram and makruh-e-tahrimi is just like the difference between fard and wajib. Fard is necessary, wajib is necessary. To abstain from haram is necessary, to abstain from makruh-e-tahrimi is also necessary. Makruh-e-tanzihi, if you engage in it, Allah will not become unhappy. But if you stay away from it, Allah will become extra happy. Sunnah ghair muakkada, if you don't perform, Allah will not become unhappy. But if you perform it, Allah will become extra happy. Mustahab, if you don't carry it out, Allah will not become unhappy. But if you carry it out, Allah will become extra happy. Nafl, if you don't engage, Allah will not become unhappy. But if you carry it out, Allah will become extra happy. And obviously the good effects of nafl, mustahab and sunnah ghair muakkada will encourage a person to carry out sunnah muakkada, wajib and fard. The negative effects of makruh-e-tanzihi, the negative effects of not staying from makruh-e-tanzihi may lead a person to makruh-e-tahrimi and also to haram. So what constitutes disobedience to Allah? Leaving a fard, leaving a wajib, leaving sunnah muakkada, not abstaining from haram and not abstaining from makruh-e-tahrimi. So Allah says, O you who believe, I have granted you a great favor through which you will acquire eternal success in the hereafter. Even if you are very, very filthy, very, very filthy, but if you leave this world with iman, a time will come when after punishment in the fire of Jahannam, worst scenario, fire of Jahannam, a time will come when you will be granted entry into Jannah forever and ever. But in order to safeguard this iman, ittaqullah. Create a barrier between yourselves and anything that displeases Allah. And what displeases Allah? Omitting fard. So create a barrier between yourselves and omitting fard. Create a barrier between yourselves and omitting wajib. Create a barrier between yourselves and omitting sunnah muakkada. Create a barrier between yourselves and engaging in haram. Create a barrier between yourselves and engaging in makruh-e-tahrimi. So ittaqullah basically means stay away from haram. Stay away from makruh-e-tahrimi. Always carry out faraiz. Always carry out wajibat and always carry out sunnah muakkada. And thereafter, the level of taqwa is also stay away from makruhat-e-tanzihiyya and also try to carry out as many sunnah ghair muakkada as possible, many mustahabbat as possible and many nawafil as possible. If you are able to do this, if you are able to safeguard yourself from the displeasure of Allah, what will happen? Your iman will be secured. And if your iman is secured, you will definitely one day find yourself in Jannah. And if you are unable to stay away from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you continue disobedience, 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 there is a possibility that your iman may be in danger and you may lose iman before you depart from this world. There is a possibility. There is a possibility. So the security for iman is taqwa. What is taqwa? To stay away from everything that makes Allah unhappy. Two more questions before I conclude. First question. We have understood the message. And we are all making a firm resolution that inshallah from today, we will not do anything that will displease Allah. We will make sure that no fard is omitted. We will make sure that no wajib is omitted. We will make sure that no sunnah muakkada is omitted. We will make sure that no haram is committed and no makruh-e-tahrimi is committed. But the question is, despite our efforts, we are weak. It will take us some time before we become healthy. What if I slip? What if I slip, despite my firm resolution?
What if I am unable to resist a film and after 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I break? I cannot resist and I watch a film. So I'm back to square one. I'm making a firm resolution that I will never miss a fard. So people will see me and Allah will see me in Isha today, in Maghrib today, in Isha today, tomorrow in Fajr also. But what if I am unable to wake up for Fajr and because of my weakness, and if I am unable to come? So I've committed a sin. I want to do what I have heard and learned today because I want to save my iman. And this is the condition of every heart that is sitting here. Yes, we want to save iman and we know how to save our iman. We know what is danger for our iman. Living fard is danger, living wajib is another danger, living sunnah muakkada is another danger, and committing haram is another danger, and committing makruh tahrim is another danger. So we will certainly stay away from these five dangers because they are detrimental to our iman. They may take away our iman. But what, despite my resolution, I fail? And not fail once in a while, I continually fail because I am weak at the moment. It will take me some time before I can spiritually make myself healthy. What if I fail? Do I give up? No. No. The command is, do not make Allah unhappy. Because if you make Allah unhappy, your iman is in danger. If you make Allah happy, your iman is in danger. If you make Allah unhappy, your iman is in danger. So don't make him unhappy. If overcome by nafs, shaitan, our weakness, our shortcoming, a sin is committed and Allah is made unhappy, then use the tool of tawbah and make him happy as soon as possible. Allah has been so kind to us. He did not only say, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, that create a barrier between yourselves and disobedience to me. Do never make me unhappy. And I am your Lord, I am your creator, you are my creation, you are my servant. Finish. Don't disobey me. That is what the teacher says in the classroom. Don't disobey me. And that is what the father says in the four walls of his home. Don't disobey. In this house, only that will happen, which I don't disobey me. Allah says, don't disobey me in my creation. You live on the earth that I have given you. Don't disobey me. Don't make me unhappy. If you disobey me, I will become unhappy. But oh my servant, I know your weaknesses. That shaitan and nafs will overpower you. They will make you disobey me. And as a result, you will displease me. But at that time, don't worry. When you displease me, make me happy again by using the tool of tawbah. Say to me that, oh Allah, I'm sorry, I will not do this again. As soon as you say with regret that, oh Allah, I was not supposed to do this. Yesterday, in the Jami Masjid of Northampton, I made a firm resolution that I'm not going to do anything that will displease you. But I have made a mistake again, oh Allah. I'm repeating that same resolution again. I will never do this again. And if that happens again the following day, repeat the resolution, oh Allah, I'm sorry, it's happened again, but I will never do it again. If that happens again after 6 hours, repeat the resolution. If that happens again after 2 days, continue repeating the resolution. And your stamina will increase due to the barakah of tawbah. As I said, every amal has an effect. So your stamina will increase, so the duration of breaking the tawbah will increase. First it will be every 24 hours. Then 48 hours, then 72 hours, then 4 days, 5 days, 10 days, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 1 year, and a time will come when you will find that due to the barakah of tawbah, you have created a barrier between yourselves and the disobedience to Allah. Everybody makes firm resolution, inshallah. From today, we will not do anything that will displease Allah. And if overcome by nafs and shaitan, we do something that displeases Allah, He is our creator. We need to make Him happy as soon as possible. If we have a loving father and we also love Him, sometimes we do commit a mistake despite not wanting to, overcome by the environment,
friends, oh, it's okay, it's only once in a while, come on, let's go, your dad won't say anything, it's okay. If he does, he'll remain unhappy for 24 hours, then he'll become happy again. Come on, it doesn't really matter. And instead of reaching home at 10 o'clock, we reach home at 1 o'clock. And father becomes unhappy. If we love our father, and if we believe that our father also loves us, what do? Please, dad, forgive me. I will never do this again. Promise you, dad. Promise you, I'll never do this again. And we will not sit in peace until we make our father happy. So does our father deserve this plea of ours more than our creator? No, our creator deserves more. Because he loves us more than our father. And we also love him more than our fathers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. O you who believe, create a barrier between yourselves and the disobedience to Allah. Never do anything that will displease Allah. And if you do, then use the tool of tawbah. And immediately repent. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that At-ta'ibu habibullah. The one who repents and makes Allah happy after making him unhappy becomes the beloved of Allah. He becomes the Habib of Allah. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Indeed, Allah loves those people who repent. Allah loves. Why? Because, oh, he is regretful that I have done wrong and he loves me. That is why he is beseeching me and saying, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me. At-taibu min adh-dhamb kama la dhanba lahu. The one who repents from a sin, from disobedience to Allah, he becomes like that person who has no sin. Who has no sin. And my friends, whenever we commit a sin, then everything that is witnessing that sin will witness against us on the day of Qiyamah. So the angels are witnessing it. The book of deeds, angels. And if I am backbiting somebody in front of you, you will also witness against me on the day of Qiyamah. This carpet will witness against me on the day of Qiyamah. This light will witness against me on the day of Qiyamah. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi has said that every creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a CID for Allah. On the day of Qiyamah, everybody will witness. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person sincerely repents and he says, oh Allah, no more from today. I'm sorry, no more from today. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who cannot forget anything. Except for Allah, every creation will be made to forget that sin. Even the angels will forget. So that on the day of Qiyamah, when he is resurrected, he does not feel embarrassed. He does not feel embarrassed. So if I have done something wrong, and if I have repented sincerely, and you are aware of it, 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 the four of you may remember in this world. But as soon as you go into the next world, the four of you will not remember that sin. So when you will see me in Jannah, inshallah, then you will not see me with that eye, oh, this is the person who did that. No, Allah will make everybody forget. Only Allah will know. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I always say to my friends that Tawbah is one of the greatest gifts of Allah. But unfortunately, it is the gift, one of the greatest ne'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is used the least by us, which is valued the least by us. So this will be the cycle from today, inshallah. Taqwa. Taqwa means I will stay away from every sin. And if I do commit a mistake, then I will immediately repent and I will make sure that Allah remains happy with me. So out of the two questions, one question has been resolved. Now the final question. Taqwa is security for iman. What is the security for taqwa? How can I bring taqwa in my life? And once taqwa comes in my life, how can I safeguard it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very kind. It is for this reason Allah says, وَكُونُوا مَعَ السَّادِقِينَ. Stay in the company of those people with taqwa. If you stay with smokers, you will become a smoker in 6 months. If you stay with those people who are addicted to drug, within 6 months you will also become addicted to drug. If you stay in the company of those people who perform salat, within 6 months you will also begin to perform salat. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that taqwa is security for your iman. How can you bring taqwa in your life? Stay in the company of the people of taqwa, because if you stay with the muttaqeen, in 6 months taqwa will come in your life also. So we want to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great ni'mat of iman. And we want to safeguard this iman by abstaining from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything that displeases Him. And as soon as we displease Him, we will immediately, with regret, with firm resolution not to do it again, repent again. And in order to, because tawbah is also part of taqwa. Because when you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawbah becomes incumbent upon you. It becomes incumbent. Repent, repent, repent. This is the command. And if we don't repent immediately, Allah becomes unhappy. So to repent is also part of taqwa. How do we bring this taqwa in our lives? How do we keep this taqwa in our lives? By staying in the company of those people who have taqwa. And staying away from those people who do not have taqwa in their lives. By staying in good company, by staying in good environment, by staying away from wrong environment, by staying in the company of the pious people, the people of taqwa, the people of deen, inshallah taqwa will come in our lives, taqwa will be safeguarded. And once taqwa is safeguarded, iman will be safeguarded. And once iman is safeguarded, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us the everlasting bliss of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So all brothers are requested to repent sincerely and make a firm resolution to change the life, inshallah, from today. And it's a very, very, very simple process. It's not a very difficult process. Taqwa, tawbah. Taqwa, tawbah. Taqwa, tawbah. And in order to get help in taqwa and tawbah, sit with those people who have this quality of taqwa and tawbah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen, was salatu was salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت عالم به منا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين اللهم اجعلنا من المتطهرين اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك الصديقين
اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما بقيتنا اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك واجعل موتنا في بلد رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم كل خير لكل مسلم ومسلمة يا ارحم الراحمين او ارحم الراحمين او ارحم الراحمين هاف مرسي upon us او دي موست forgiving forgive our sins forgive the sins of our parents forgive the sins of our families children forgive the sins of our friends associates forgive the sins of our well wishers Forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. Forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. Forgive our minor sins. Forgive our major sins. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the ability to abstain from everything that displeases you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with the noor of taqwa. Enlighten our hearts with the noor of hidayah. Enlighten our hearts with the noor of your ma'rifat recognition. Enlighten our hearts with the noor of yaqeen. Enlighten our hearts with the noor of iman. Enlighten our hearts with your love. Enlighten our hearts with the love of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen. Enlighten our hearts with good characters. O Arhamur Rahimeen. Adorn our hearts with good characters. O Arhamur Rahimeen. Clean our hearts from evil traits and evil characters. O Arhamur Rahimeen. For as long as You keep us in this world, keep us with Iman. And when you take us from this world, take us with Iman. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us Husn-e Khatima. Grant us Husn-e Khatima. Grant us Husn-e Khatima. O Arhamur Rahimeen, we beseech you to safeguard our Iman. We beseech you to safeguard us from Shaitan and base desires. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the punishment of the grave. Save us from the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. Grant us shade under your throne on the day of Qiyamah. Grant us shade in your mercy on the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us easy reckoning. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make Pul Sirat easy for us. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from your anger. Save us from your displeasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entry into Jannah with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. O Arhamur Rahimeen, every good that your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked from you, grant it to us. And every evil from which your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sought refuge, grant us refuge from it. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us acceptance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us acceptance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us acceptance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us all the good of this world and the hereafter. Save us from every evil of this world and the hereafter. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك ونبيك ونعوذ بك من شر ما عاذ به عبدك ونبيك اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. اللهم إنا نسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمته.